Hello, hello, everybody. For today's mini episode of Fluently Forward, we are going to be talking even more about Quiet on the Set, continuing from our Monday episode. So what I want to cover today is Drake Bell and Alexa Nicholas, who are two of the Disney child stars who were both featured in the docuseries and have been very vocal about speaking out so far. I hope that I'm recording this on Friday. I hope that by the time this episode is out, we hear from some other stars or other people backing them up and supporting them. I know Josh Peck recently put out a statement saying that he was taking time to privately go over everything that was happening, but he really felt for the victims and everything that they went through. So let's first get into Drake Bell, because like I said on Monday, he came out as being a victim of sexual assault of Brian Peck. And two things can be true at once. A, what he went through was absolutely horrific. It should happen to nobody. And he was 100% completely a victim in that situation. And also B, he has had a very scandalous, problematic, whatever you want to call it, future after that happened, maybe because that happened. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because I also feel like that's, I don't know, I just feel like it's something worth noting before everybody is like, Drake Bell, you are a hero. So after Drake was on All That and then he was on Drake and Josh, trouble really started for him. And like so many child stars, he started to get a little bit of that bad boy reputation. So this first started in 2012. Drake acted, but he also did a lot of music, and he was sued in 2012 by music producer John Fields, and he claimed that he had worked on a bunch of different songs on one of Drake's albums, but he wasn't paid the right amount for his work. He alleged that Drake had commissioned 9 of his songs, but only gave him enough money for 5, which meant that he owed Drake $36,000. Which, by the way, is always interesting. Like, how much money is a song worth? So a judge ruled in this producer's favor, and Drake had to pay him the money along with interest and along with attorney fees. So between that and also the lack of work that he had after Drake and Josh, which, like, you just think back to everything that happened to him, and you're like, poor kid was probably traumatized and didn't want to do anything else with Nickelodeon or anything like that. So he ended up blowing through all of the money that he made as a teen star. So in 2014, news came out that he had filed for bankruptcy after racking up debts that equated to more than $1.5 million. And I found this interesting too, because in the Quiet on the Set docuseries, they said that he was, I think, like $500,000 in debt. This here says $1.5 million. Who knows? So people got a hold of court documents at the time, and those court documents said that Drake Bell confessed that at that time he was spending about $18,000 per month, but only bringing in about $2,800, which is wild. So because of him filing for bankruptcy, his $1.5 million mansion came under foreclosure. It also seemed like at this time he was having a public falling out with Josh Peck, which I swear to God, I talked about this a little bit on Monday. I just feel like the internet is so fickle, because Drake had this bad boy reputation and his own allegations and crimes with a minor, which we're going to be talking about. So at first, when Josh Peck was like, you know, I'm going to distance myself in 2017, Josh did not invite Drake to his wedding, which Dan Schneider was invited to. And Drake went on this, you know, fierce Twitter battle on his Twitter account against Josh, saying, quote, true colors have come out today. Message is loud and clear. Ties are officially cut. I'll miss you, brother. Which, if anybody knows from watching Drake and Josh, they would always go, hug me, brother. And that was their tagline. It was such a sweet show, honestly. And it's so funny because at that moment, everybody, you know, some people were like, people with nostalgia, why did you not invite him to the wedding? But everybody else, you know, we're also going to talk about his DUI, a lot of misdemeanors that he has. And once again, like I said, a relationship with a minor. And everybody was like, screw you, Drake. Like, Josh is like, what a good guy, like distancing himself from someone who's a bad influence. Like, nobody owes anybody an invitation to the wedding. And then like now this comes out and everybody's like, oh my God, absolutely not. You know, we hate Josh Peck. How dare you not invite someone to your wedding who was like abused? And like, I just, whatever. Like, I need to stop like getting into imaginary fights with the internet. In 2017, nobody knew that Drake Bell was the victim of this sexual assault. But anyway, it just adds to kind of the list of scandals that was happening to Drake Bell after he left Drake and Josh. Now, I will say they did make up. They reunited a few months later at the MTV Video Music Awards where they hugged it out, and it seemed like the drama was kind of behind them. Now, a year later in 2015, Drake Bell was arrested for driving under the influence in California after somebody saw him swerving and speeding. So he pleaded guilty to that, and he was sentenced to 4 days in jail and 4 years of probation, and he was required to attend an alcohol education program. He ended up only serving 1 day behind bars. He was released on good behavior. Now, at that time, in 2015, when he was arrested for this DUI, it actually came to light that he had been arrested once before that, another DUI in San Diego in 2009, but there's not as much, you know, information about that incident out there. Now, cut to a few years later, in August 2020, Drake Bell is in the news again, this time because his ex-girlfriend Melissa accused him of verbal and physical abuse. She makes this video that she shares to her TikTok account. She says that they started dating in 2006 when she was only 16 and he was 20. And she said that they were together for 2 years. And in her video, she says it wasn't until about a year into the relationship when the verbal abuse started. And when I say verbal abuse, imagine the worst type of verbal abuse you could ever imagine, and that was what I got. It then turned to physical, hitting, throwing, everything. At the pinnacle of it, he threw me down the stairs at our house. My face hit every step on the way down. I have photos of this. And I do want to note, just because it's an I always pick up on parallels. Like, I have that type of brain that's always trying to put patterns together. It was interesting that when she says this in 2020, when I say verbal abuse, imagine the worst type of verbal abuse you could ever imagine. And when Drake, in his, I don't know, testimony, confession, in the docuseries, is talking about his abuse that happened to him, he says the same thing to the camera, where he says, imagine the worst way somebody could be sexually abused. That's it. And I'm not, oh my God, I'm like literally not at all trying to say that like he copied what she said. I'm almost seeing a parallel there of like, he was treated the worst somebody could be, comma, he treated someone the worst that he could treat someone. So who knows? Now, after his ex-girlfriend shared that to his TikTok account, he responded. He says that he never abused his ex-girlfriend or did any of the things that she falsely claimed in her TikTok video. He said that when their relationship ended, they both called each other terrible names, which happens when couples are breaking up. And then he said this, which I don't agree with. Quote, clearly, Melissa still felt close enough to me just last year that she was comfortable reaching out to ask me to provide her with financial support during a tough time, parentheses, which I did. I do not know if today's behavior is some kind of misguided quest for more money or attention. Interesting. I will say, I just don't like that verbiage that I think a lot of people use when they're like, oh, so you say that I abused you or raped you or did this, but then a week later you texted me asking me to hang out. And it's like, speaking from experience, like, one does not discredit the other. I feel like a lot of times too, people who are abused or put in bad situations like that, sometimes you end up reaching out to the abuser afterwards because you're almost trying in your mind to act like it wasn't abuse. It wasn't this awful, horrible thing that happened to me. Maybe it's like, ha ha ha, like he's actually my boyfriend. Like maybe it's fine. Maybe we're actually friends. So I feel like that's kind of a, what do you call it? Not trauma response, but like some sort of, I don't know, thing that people fall into. Now, after Drake says, oh my God, no, my ex-girlfriend is lying. I never did any of that. She then posts photos of herself with bruises and scars that she said came from Drake. And then she also says that another one of his actresses, his exes, this actress Payton, would back her up. And Payton, who dated Drake Bell from 2011 to 2016, allegedly told Melissa, quote, I will stand by your side and back you up as I went through the same horrific verbal, physical, and mental abuse. Now, in 2021, Drake was arrested in Cleveland, Ohio. He was charged with attempted endangerment of a child and one count of disseminating matter harmful to juveniles. So at this time, these law enforcement officials claimed that he had sent a 15-year-old minor inappropriate social media messages in 2017. She was 15, he was 31. So the victim also claims that he performed oral sex on her when she was backstage at one of his concerts in December of that year. He denied that, the physical act. His victim says during trial, quote, "He was calculating. He preyed on me and sexually abused me. He is a monster and a danger to children." Now, Drake did plead guilty to both charges of attempted endangerment and disseminating matter harmful to juveniles. He was sentenced to 2 years of probation. At this point, when is he not on probation? Like, he keeps getting sentences with probation. And he was sentenced to 200 hours of community service. So after this happened, he shares a video to Instagram and he speaks out about this incident, saying that his messages to the 15-year-old were, quote, "reckless and irresponsible," and saying, quote, "I'm not perfect and I make mistakes." However, he then continues and says, "Most of the news that we've heard about him recently was entirely false and wrong, and he keeps insisting that he stopped communicating with her after he learned her age." Quote, "I want to make clear that there were no sexual images, nothing physical between me and this individual. I was not charged with anything physical. I was not charged with disseminating of photographs or images or anything like that. This is strictly over text message, and when I was presented with a plea deal because of the messages, I felt that it was the best way to get this over quickly and for everyone involved to be able to move on and for me to get back to making music, blah, blah, blah." Today's episode is brought to you by Pear Eyewear, and you can wear it too. We wear, they wear, everybody wears Pear Eyewear. Ooh la la. If you are looking to switch up your look, Pear Eyewear has these base frames. They start at just $60, which includes your prescription, and they have a wide variety of different top frames that you can very easily, almost like magic, just snap on and snap off. So then that way, depending on whether you want to take a look from day to night, hello, my fellow millennials, or maybe you're getting your colors done and you're between a spring and a summer, you can just use your top frames, snap them on and off to personalize your look. And they also have fantastic sunglasses. I think I have like five pair eyewears of their sunglasses, and I love them. So visualize a fantastic new you with Pear Eyewear. You can go to paireyewear.com and use the code Shannon for 15% off of your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that Fluent Loom Forward sent you in your post-checkout survey. That is Pear, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com with the code Shannon. So that, I don't, the docuseries did say that it was just text messages, and it was ruled in the court as just text messages, and he says it was just text messages. In December 2022, he was seen inhaling inflated balloons in the front seat of his parked car outside of his LA home while his son was asleep in the back seat. And then people say it wasn't clear if there was anything inside of the balloon. Well, I think we can fucking guess. Like, come on. I don't know. It sounds like it's been a fucking mess. All right, let's get into some of these blind items here. Here we are. This former A-minus lister for the tween crowd, Drake Bell, is doing rehab to give himself cover when the new child endangerment charges come down. It's also hard to tell with the timing of these things. In the docuseries, it really did seem like he had gone to rehab. He was trying to better himself for the first time in his life. He's trying to turn things around, and a lot of people want to help him better himself. So, you know, I hope that that's the case. But we've got some more nasty alleged blind items here. This former A-minus list teen actor is now a drug-addicted pedophile who spends most of his time in countries with very low ages of consent. Look for him to be the next Aaron Carter, dead. Another Drake Bell blind item. You are a former A-list teen actor musician who was headed to big things until you weren't. You thought that you were a huge star and you acted like it, so no one wanted to work with you. You then got busted for having sex with minors, but nothing happened. You got away with it, so you did it some more. You are addicted to duster because you can't afford much more than that. Cue me Googling what duster is. Duster drug. Oh my God. Oh my God, these pictures of people. Oh, these mugshots of people. Okay, so it's like You know when, you know that dust that you spray on your keyboard to get stuff out of it? I guess this, maybe this would be similar to like whippets and, you know, the stuff that you do in balloons. It's getting high off of that stuff. Oh my God. Okay. I learned something new. Let's continue the blind item. The alleged blind item. You are addicted to duster because you can't afford much more than that. How do you get people to notice you and give you magazine covers and guest spots on shows? You go, quote, missing and then are found right away, but get to have that redemption story that you don't deserve. And this is like a while back. He was reported missing, but then found safe. Another blind item says this former tween A-minus list actor is still hitting on teenagers in his DMs on social media. It is why his wife left him. Another one says this modern Nickelodeon actor has been in trouble before. He starred on a show with one other lead. Not that long ago, he held a gun to the head of his girlfriend when he thought that she was going to leave him. It happened out of the country. And then the last blind item here says it was just a music video, but this former tween star was all about the casting couch where he cast his latest music video. It's just so murky. Do you know what I mean? It's very, very murky. And I don't know how old these blind items are. I would just say investigate Drake Bell. I think I would. There's been too many rumors over the years and legitimate charges. And this doesn't mean that he's not a victim of what happened to him. He absolutely is. But also investigate him and make sure it's not happening to anyone else. Like, to me, that was the biggest takeaway of the docuseries. Like, we need to do whatever we can to make sure that this doesn't happen to more people. Now, Alexa Nicholas, like I said, she played, I think, Nicole in Zoe 101. And she has been very outspoken about this in a way where I'm pretty sure those like twerps on the Ned's Declassified podcast. Remember the show Ned's Declassified, School Survival Guide? They're all talking about how they used to like fuck each other on the show and like give hand jobs or I don't know, something like that. I haven't listened to the podcast, but people are talking about it on TikTok. And when news of this docuseries came out, they were on TikTok live joking about like something, something, get in the hole and show me your holes. Oh, just kidding. Huh? Sorry. We shouldn't say that. You think it's just like everyone's side eyeing them so much. And they were saying too, like, oh, we didn't know. What did they say in their TikTok live? We didn't know that it was Drake Bell that this happened to. And somebody in the background went, well, somebody knew and kept talking about it. And they were referencing Alexa Nicholas because Alexa Nicholas, like I said, she was on Zoe 101 and she has been leading the charge. Like, she does protests outside of Nickelodeon. She holds up Dan Schneider's face on a stick like way before this docuseries was out. And she has that channel called Eat Predators. I think it's a program. Maybe it's a nonprofit. I don't know. It's the name of her YouTube channel. But she talks all about this and she talks all about being a survivor and helping other survivors and what to do and what we should be doing. It's a really honorable cause, especially considering the fact that that's not an easy content niche to be in. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, but I think that those Ned's Declassified jagwagons were making fun of her because not only is she speaking out about what happened to her and others at Nickelodeon, she's speaking out about what happened to her just in general. So there's a blind item here talking about how Seth MacFarlane wants to see Alexa Nicholas gone along with a lot of other powerful people in town because she tweeted a while back that Seth MacFarlane, who was the creator of Family Guy, was hired to abuse her and that she faced abuse at his hands, which, you know, I was surprised to hear because that was the first negative thing that I had heard about Seth MacFarlane, but her tweets about it, go look them up. It could be a mini episode, maybe one day, everything about Seth MacFarlane. She also said too that Jonah Hill, quote, shoved his tongue down her throat against her will when she was 16. And Jonah Hill, I mean, after the surfing incident, we all look at him a little bit differently, but it seems like from, you know, the things that I've been following from Alexa Nicholas, being a child star in Nickelodeon is dangerous. And also, I remember her saying about Seth MacFarlane something about how his friend pointed her out at Zoe 101 and was like, how old is she? Like, when does she turn 18? Like, she's the hot one, blah, blah, blah. It just honestly, like, burn Hollywood to the ground. It just sounds so insidious and fucked up the way that these people kind of pick out, allegedly, from what it sounds like, these child stars and then wait for them to become, you know, 16, 17, 18 and like do stuff with them. Anyway, and I think we were able to see an exact direct result of what happens when you do speak out about this, because there was a Zoe 101 reunion and Alexa was excluded from it because obviously she's the only person who has been calling out Dan Schneider for his actions on set. And this blind item says, "Once again, though, people have decided to bury their heads in the sand and collect a paycheck rather than speaking up and saying that she was right." And I do wonder, we talk about money changing hands and Nickelodeon allegedly giving this hush money to people or signing NDAs to keep quiet. Is that a one-time payment or is that something that you get every month? Because I know people, Josh Peck, right, talked about how he was pretty screwed financially in terms of not getting residuals from the show. I wonder if Nickelodeon, or now that this docuseries is out, or they knew it was coming out, I wonder if at the start of 2024, there were a bunch of checks sent out to ensure people's silence. So who knows? But that's just a little bit about Alexa. Go check out her YouTube channel, Eat Predators. And Drake Bell, you know, it's just investigate Drake Bell, I would say. Like go through his Instagram DMs. You just want to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else. But, you know, it'll be curious what he does, because I feel like he's also in a situation where he's in this docuseries. He's very obviously a victim of abuse, but he can't really go on Alexa's YouTube channel, Eat Predators, considering that he was found guilty of being a predator. You know, it's just such a twisted thing that we're dealing with here. So that was just a little follow-up to Monday's episode. Thank you for hanging out with me. I promise when I tell you next week, we've got a great Monday episode already in store with two fantastic guests who give us a lot of great juice and gossip on what is going on in the music industry. I had such a blast recording with them. I was just like mouth open, ears wide open, so excited to hear everything that they were telling me. You guys are going to love Monday's episode, and it will be lighter and not as dark, I promise. So thank you for hanging out with me, listening to this episode, and I will see you guys on Friday for a Patreon episode and on Monday for a public one. Have a good one, guys. Bye.